Blast, and you're listening to It's All About Food, and I am so glad to be here. We've been taking a break for a couple of weeks thanks to Hurricane Sandy, and I'm so glad to be back. And I wanted to really put out some big thanks to Progressive Radio Network. They really were wonderful during this hurricane time, offering studio space to WBAI, a radio network that I've been listening to for a very long time. And as a result, we were not able to broadcast. But now we're back, and I just want to mention how important community is and different organizations helping each other. That's what it's all about, sharing the love and being a community. And that leads me to what I want to underline in this next program today about community. There's a lot of people in the alternative health movement, this food movement, this healthy food drive that's going on all around the world. It's one of the reasons why I founded my nonprofit, Responsible Eating and Living, R-E-A-L, Real, because I want to help be a part of this sharing of information, of truth and tools for healthy eating, wellness, green living. And there's so many different ways to do it, and that's why we need so many people doing it, so that we can create like a snowball, something that just gets bigger and bigger, so more people can get it, more people can get healthy, we can make this world a better place. I want to bring on my first guest, James Colquhoun, who is the co-author of the new book, Hungry for Change. He's also the co-author and co-producer, along with Laurentine Ten Bosch, of the documentary films Food Matters. And they say that everyone on a diet ought to get, quote, hungry for change. Their first film, Food Matters, has been seen by millions who have rediscovered their health with the core message of the film, you are what you eat. On the heels of that success, the couple began receiving scores of messages from people eager for them to turn their attention to weight loss. A prescriptive companion to the DVD, the book Hungry for Change, the how-to guide for breaking free from the diet trap, combines the expertise of top medical doctors and nutritionists with proven strategies to prevent and reverse disease and more than 100 recipes to lose weight simply by adding better food to your diet and avoiding very harmful ones. Welcome, James, to It's All About Food.
Thank you, Karen. It's great to be on the air with you.
Yeah, so what I was just talking about is this importance of so many different people bringing this message out, because it's a really challenging job that we all have. Somehow in the last 100 years, we went in the totally wrong direction with our food.
Absolutely, and I think that it's really important that we come together in communities around this message. And you know, I'm really passionate about film because I believe that film has the ability to impact people on a deep level. And you can go from, you know, very little nutrition knowledge, or even if you know quite a bit, and you can watch some films in this space and go deeper into your understanding in a very quick period of time. And I think that film has an enormous capacity to bring communities together, to bring groups together, and it's also a great way to share this message of better health through nutrition and let thy food be thy medicine and you are what you eat with the disbelieving uncles and aunties and grandparents that we all have in our family that we want on board with this message with us.
Yeah, well, you know, the last 100 years or the last 50 years, so many things have happened within industry and industrial food, and I think some of the older community especially really believed that all of those things that were happening that were new and were progressive were good for them. And that makes it especially hard to change.
I know. And what's happened in our society is we've become addicted to convenience. We've become addicted to instant gratification, and that's brought about a lot of the changes we're seeing in our medical industries, in our food industries, in the diet and weight loss industry. We really want this instant gratification, and it's not really the fault of these companies or organizations that are providing these products, because we've asked for them.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that we need to really address what is going to serve us best. And we know, specifically talking about Hungry for Change, the film and book, we're spending $60 billion a year in the US on diet and weight loss products. And UCLA Berkeley show that up to two-thirds of people who go on a diet fail. So what that means to me is there is $40 billion a year of wasted money on diet.
Mm-hmm.
So we address these topics and we want to help people navigate the confusion around food. And it's not just our message, it's bringing together some of the leading experts in this space and sharing an area where we all agree upon some really core foundational concepts for nutrition, weight loss, detoxification, things that have been around for longer than our modern food culture.
This idea of spending a lot of money on something that doesn't work is something that we are going through today, not just with obesity and food. We're seeing it all over. We just saw it in the elections in the United States, mm-hmm. where people mm-hmm. threw so much money at advertising. And
absolutely.
For some people, it didn't work. But with the case of genetically modified food, unfortunately, it did work, where
indeed.
Corporations threw $45 million against mm-hmm. those that wanted GMO labeling, only put in under 10, and you just can't fight that.
You know, that's so true. And I think that as I've been involved in this space, you know, producing our first film, Food Matters, which really tackles the economics behind the pharmaceutical industry and the agricultural industry and really explains on that level why we're becoming sicker and sicker and what we can do about it. And now looking at the diet industry, what really became evident to me as a filmmaker is that we're really talking about a question of economics here.
Mm-hmm.
And the more that we understand that, the more that we can pull ourselves out of that system and really start to, I guess, vote with a new set of guidelines, you know, vote with our support of local agriculture, our support of sustainable foods, our support of foods that support our bodies. And when we do that, we can shift the entire landscape of commerce and health and nutrition and even especially our own bodies and start from there.
I want to say that the work that you're doing is really important. The films, Food Matters, Hungry for Change, your new book, Hungry for Change, all of these things are very important in this grassroots equation of making change. But you're right about the economy. It's really an economic fight as well. And unfortunately, there are many people who either don't have this information or maybe have the information but are so overwhelmed in their lives that they don't know how to make the change.
Yeah.
Or some of them just can't get out of the economic situation that they're in where they can see a way to make change.
And, you know, that's such a great question, and I get asked that quite a bit, and
mm-hmm.
I totally sympathize with that because we are in, you know, really difficult times. And I think that the best thing people can do is that one of the great things we do as a film company is certain times of year we offer our film for free for a limited time online so that anybody that hasn't been, that doesn't have access to iTunes or Netflix or can buy a DVD, we put it up for free. We've got a Food Matters free screening event happening this November 21st to 30th, and most times in March we run a free screening of Hungry for Change. So we want to make sure this information is out there. That's our primary mission. But I think also for people who are trying to get started on this, especially if you're coming, like if you have income challenges, one of the greatest things we can do is just start by adding one thing into our daily routine. And it can be as simple as, you know, buying some, you know, sprouting some, you know, making some sprouts at home, or making a homemade sauerkraut, or if you've got a juicer, you know, making a green juice and, you know, bypassing the supermarkets and going direct to farmers markets and getting some, you know, green vegetables at a low cost. If you can start introducing just even one of these things, either the fermented foods or the sprouts or a fresh green vegetable juice, if you add just one of those things once a day, and we're not talking a big cost here, just that one thing will begin to transform your health radically. And then you continue adding from there as you feel better and as you spend less of your money on things that really don't support your health, and you'll start to break out of that diet trap and into a more healthier area.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. So it's not as overwhelming where people can just do one thing and maybe make that more of a habit, and then they can add to that.
Exactly. And this is one of the biggest things we discovered when we were doing the research for Hungry for Change, and we interviewed all these experts, medical doctors, scientific researchers, people who have transformed their own health. And what we found was that when you say that diets don't work, what we actually discovered was most diets that are out there are based on restriction. Either it's a restriction in caloric intake, or it's a manipulation of the ratios with which we consume proteins, carbohydrates, or fats.
You know, that I believe in eating for a lifestyle and not being on a diet. And I just want to say I've been eating a plant-based diet for a very, very long time. I love my food. I never feel restricted. I eat what I want when I want, and it works. My weight's been the same for decades. I wear the same clothes for decades. May or may not be a good thing. But the point is, I love my food. I don't feel restricted. When I'm hungry, I eat. It's because I'm making all the right choices.
Exactly. And that's the key point. The key point is that we want to release any of this neurosis around food. We want to release that energy and make it about freedom and excitement and fun. Because as soon as you put restrictions on food, you go into this diet trap, this diet mentality of I can't have this or I can't have that. And we want to move away from that. And this is the secret to creating lasting change in your diet, which we talk about in the Hungry for Change book and the film, is about adding. And so if we keep the focus on adding and we don't change anything, and this is what I've said before, for people who are really looking to, they might have tried diets before, you know, the South Beach diet or the Atkins diet, whatever it is, they've come and gone. But what we know works and what our research is showing is that if you focus on adding one thing in at a time, and it might be the green juice, it might be the sprouts, it might be the fermented foods, it might just be a salad with every lunch. Before you have whatever lunch you normally have, just start with a big green leafy salad. And as you start to do this, you start to feel better incrementally, and then you want to keep going with it, and you get motivated to keep going. And that is one of the most effective ways that we've found that people can really take this on board and see remarkable transformations in their health.
Yeah, I love that. I'm a big proponent of green foods. I know it saved my life. I juice every day, and I love how forgiving the body can be. Number one, it's amazing how long we can live fueling ourselves with crap. And it's just amazing.
It is unbelievable. I mean, I'm shocked at how we can sometimes defy the odds.
Yeah.
And live through this junk food culture that we've created.
It really
is. But we have been the creators of that. We've demanded that. And so we shouldn't blame these corporations, although they are the ones supplying it, we have at some level demanded that convenience in our lives.
They are part of the equation, but we all need as individuals to take responsibility.
I couldn't agree more. And
now,
can I just add a little bit to this story here? Because it was really interesting how we started out.
That's what I wanted to talk about.
Great, because when we first started with this, Laurentine and I, who made the first Food Matters film and now Hungry for Change, were studying nutrition, and we were learning so much about the importance of nutrition and natural medicine and herbology, and we at the same time could see that my father's health was deteriorating quite seriously, and he was diagnosed with chronic fatigue syndrome and also depression, and he had severe anxiety attacks as well. And it was so severe that he spent 5 years of his life bedridden, and he had to sell his business. My mother became the primary caregiver and was looking after him full time. I mean, this was a huge disruption to his life, and it basically typical burnt out middle-aged professional syndrome. And he was prescribed, you know, 5 to 6 different types of medications, and he was really, really suffering from a lot of the side effects of those medications, and his health was deteriorating. He was gaining a lot of weight. And as we were researching nutrition, we could see, wow, there is so much that we were uncovering that could really help my father. But I'm sure a lot of the listeners can sympathize with me, is that when I tried to tell my father about the importance of green foods and detoxification and cleansing and juicing and, you know, having more plants in your diet, he was really, you know, quite aggressively opposed to it because, you know, it didn't really fit with his model of what he believed the medical profession to be. And So we had to come up with a way that we could really help convince him properly that this was a great path for him to be considering. And when we went and interviewed all these medical doctors and experts, put them into a film, and had them explain to him the dangers of these types of medications, the dangers of a lot of these SSRI or MAOA antidepressant medications, and how important and effective it can be to use nutrition, detoxification, and supplementation. Once we had that put into a film, it was such a powerful tool that as soon as he watched it, he stopped going on all his medications. Now, I'm not recommending people to do this. Mm-hmm. Check with their doctor. Started a supplement regime to balance out his body and brain biochemistry, cleansing up his diet. He was having sprouts for breakfast, juices for lunch. I mean, he lost 50 pounds of weight, completely turned his health around, and it was just a remarkable transformation. He went from 5 years bedridden and offered no hope from the medical profession to within the first 2 to 3 months, complete turnaround, off all his medications. And it's just so, became such a mission of mine and Laurentine as well, to help get this message to people and to families who are going through similar situations, and sharing this message so that people can know that they can live without this pain, and know that nutrition can be a great avenue for them to access that healing power and take their health back.
This is really important, and it's something that a lot of us are doing in many different ways. I know I've been promoting the power of nutritious plant foods for decades, and sometimes it's amusing when I'm reading something and think that, I've been talking about this for a very long time. And then the questions that people might ask, the same questions over and over and over. But then I have to remind myself that it is new to so many people. And the information, it's not rocket science. It's not hard information. It's just people need it. And I'm heartbroken sometimes because your dad was really lucky. And there are so many people we want to get this information to. They're so resistant. Your father was lucky because he had you. And many people don't have people to come in and put the information in front of them and help them.
Exactly. And that's, it is a big challenge we're facing. And I really love how you started this with acknowledging community, because I think that it's going to be a community of like-minded people in this nutrition and natural healing and health space that have to set the intention and hold that vibrational level and go, we're going to represent real food in this world. And, I really encourage everybody that's listening to this radio show today who is on board with this message, who really believes in this message, whether they've transformed their own life or they've studied it personally or it's something that they just know that they believe in their heart, that we need to step up. We need to get all the films that are out there, the books that are out there, and share it with families and friends. It's our responsibility to be the antithesis of the food and drug industry, to be the antithesis of this chemical agricultural industry. We need to be the opposite energy for that. And I honestly believe films are so powerful. And, it doesn't have to be our film, any film. There's great films out there. It's just, use film as a medium to help influence people to positively take their health into their own hands. And I just think it's such a critical thing that we need to be focusing on.
This idea of community, I want to talk a bit more about it because I really think it's important. I'm a vegan. I've been a vegan for a long time. And when I talk to people, I promote my philosophy. I share my philosophy. It's something that's important to me, healthy food, and also the issues of animal agriculture's impact on the environment and the cruelty that goes on. These are very passionate issues with me. But I like to talk to everyone who is in this alternative food movement, this movement to bring back real food, whether people are promoting a vegan diet or not. I think we can all align as a community on some very, very crucial issues, and there's more power when we all come together to make this change. We need organic food. We need at least GMO labeling, if not just getting rid of genetically modified food. We need to get all of the chemical, well, well, not chemicals, because there are good chemicals and bad chemicals, but the synthesized things, the manufactured food, the things in the boxes that are not food. This needs to change. It needs to change in the schools and in the hospitals, and we all need to get together and align ourselves on these same issues, locally fresh, nutritious, organic, real food.
Absolutely. I could not agree with you more. And again, you know, I really believe that, you know, film and community around film is so great. And one of the community engagement programs that we run is that every few months we say, we encourage both of our films, the Food Matters and Hunger for Change film, we allow them to be screened publicly for free.
Hmm.
Now, very few other filmmakers do this.
How do people do this? How do they find out about
it? Okay, well, on both of our websites, our Food Matters film is at foodmatters.tv, and our Hungry for Change film is hungryforchange.tv. But on both of those websites, you can watch the trailer. You can also put in your name and email address to watch the first 20 or 40 minutes, depending on the film. And then there's a screenings tab on there. And you click on the screenings tab and you can host a local event in your area. And you can screen it at your, you know, house and have a healthy house party with a few people around. Or you can take a community hall or a church or anywhere.
Mm.
And you can play the film and we allow you to screen it for free.
That's great.
It's our primary mission to get the message out there. And oftentimes, every few months, our team will run a little social media campaign and it'll be like, if you follow us on Facebook, you just say, hey, if you want to host the screening in your area, the next 15 people who register a screening, we're going to ship them a free copy of the DVD. And, you know, part of my direction with this company, this sort of conscious media, conscious film company that we're building, is that one of our core staff members, Karina, she's fabulous, and I direct her to send out for free 300 to 500 copies of our films every month.
Mm.
Conferences, health clinics, free community screening events, and it's sort of our way of giving this message back to the community and allowing community groups to come around this film together and support their own health individually and encourage other people in their community to support their health, because, you know, I feel that it's such an important thing in this time of day.
Okay, now let's just talk a little bit about this book, Hungry for Change, and I have not seen the film, and I'm going to have to do that very soon. I have seen Food Matters, and it's excellent. You profile a number of different people who have struggled with weight, and I think people find it's very compelling when they hear individual stories. You know, we can throw out numbers, and you threw out a few in the book and in the promos about all the money that's spent on medications and obesity and diet books. Mm-hmm. But people really relate to the stories, and you have a few in the book that are really powerful.
I really believe in that, too. And so many people, when they hear my father's story, they're really like, wow, you know, I want to do that, or I know somebody who has that. And specifically in Hungry for Change, the book and the film, we profile a few core individuals, and one I'd like to highlight is John Gabriel. He's an incredible man, and his story, which we capture in the film, is just so unbelievable. And over a 7-year period, he lost 200 pounds, and he has never regained that weight. And the thing was, before he lost those pounds, he was yo-yo dieting, lose 10 pounds, gain 20, lose 10 pounds, gain 20. He worked face-to-face with Atkins, went to the Pritikin Center. He'd been on all the most popular diets, and nothing did it for him until he actually really addressed the real reason his body wanted to be fat. And once he understood that message and started applying it in his life, he completely transformed his health. And this is a huge transformation, 200 pounds. And
when you look at
amazing.
His pictures, he's stunning right now.
Oh, it's unbelievable. You can hardly believe it. And the guy is such an angel. And, you know, we're catching up in Los Angeles next weekend. I'm really excited that he's going to be here. And, you know, it's such a powerful story. And John is just the perfect epitome of somebody who has broken free of this diet cycle and this diet trap and really taken control of his health. And some of his core messages, which I've echoed just a little bit earlier in this conversation, which I'll bring up again, is don't turn it into a diet. Keep the focus on adding. That's one of his most important things. The second thing is that when you're focusing on adding, those foods that you're adding into your diet need to be nutrient-rich foods. One of the biggest things that our body is craving for is nutrients. And if we're eating processed foods devoid of nutrients, we're going to keep eating and eating and eating because our body is sending signals to our brain saying, although you've eaten 5,000 calories today, I still haven't gotten any nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to keep sending that hunger signal to you. You see, when we have hunger, when we have cravings, it's mostly because our body is craving nutrients. And if we're not giving it the specific nutrients it needs, it's going to keep sending these hunger signals to our brain. So nutrient-dense foods is a really important thing for him. Another aspect of Hungry for Change, which I know you're just going to love, is focus on the mind-body aspect. And it's really talking a lot about using tools such as visualization, affirmations, and really culturing a sense of respect and love and reverence for yourself. Because a lot of the people who we talk to have transformed their health, and John was one of them, but also Joe Cross from the movie Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead. And we also profiled Frank Ferrante from the movie May I Be Frank. And Chris Carr, who's a beautiful woman who's, you know, a cancer thriver, and she's unbelievable.
I'm actually going to go to her book signing later today at Whole Foods in Tribeca in New York
City.
Hello
from James at Food Matters and Hunger for Change.
We're
close buddies. She's amazing.
Yeah.
And so what these people have in common is that they said that one of the most important things for them in being able to maintain a long-lasting health is love for themselves and love for others.
Mm.
It was really interesting for me to hear this because I'm from a nutrition background, so I'm like saying, I was hoping it was going to be wheatgrass or like barley grass or some like secret nutritional product, but it wasn't. It was actually really about their connection with themselves, because how many of us wake up, look in the mirror and go, look, you're 30 pounds overweight, you know, you're single, you've got a cat, you know, you beat yourself up, you berate yourself, and you start your day with this internal dialogue, and that subconsciously leads to poorer food decisions, poorer decisions in relation to our health and well-being. And when you change that dialogue and change that communication to a respect and reverence and using affirmations and even doing visualization and meditation work and visualizing the body and health that you really deserve and desire, you actually start to shift your decisions and shift your food choices on a subtle subconscious level. And that is such an important thing that we introduce in this film and book, and I really believe it has the power to create a lot of lasting change for people.
You're right, I did love that. I did love that. That's my favorite part. You know, I'm really passionate about food, and I really believe in the power of food, but our mind is so much bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And we really need to love ourselves, love, share the love. You know, it kind of sounds a little woo-woo, wah-wah, gooey, whatever, but it's so important, and it's so true, and we feel so
like that.
Better.
I actually thought it sounded like that. I was more of a research and nutrition background, but when I had Dr. Christian Northrup, one of the foremost leaders in women's health, she wrote Women's Bodies, Women's Wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
She's an incredible woman. You know, since interviewing her, I have such a deep respect for her and her work. And she is sitting there in the interview, and she's saying, love is the single most important thing to improve one's health. And I was so shocked by this. And I really looked deeply into her research and the work she's done, and there's been lots of studies done on this, like the Adverse Childhood Experiences study, where children experience less love and connection during their upbringing, and they tend to have more weight when they're older, and they have more problems keeping that weight off. You see, weight is really, and fat accumulation in the body is a protection mechanism. And a lot of the times it's protecting us against emotions, and it's also protecting us against toxicity in the body. So in order to remove that, we need to address the emotional aspects, and we need to address the toxicity aspects. And that's a nutrition approach, and it's a mind-body approach. And I really just feel so strongly at that. This is such an important aspect. And do you know what? If you look at most common diets that are out there, not one of them talk about connection or reverence or love or visualization or affirmations. And that is one of the most important key ingredients, which we talk about in depth in the film and book.
I love it. Thank you so much. Thank you, James. Thank you for everything you've been doing, and thanks for joining me today on It's All About Food.
You're welcome, and great speaking with you. Say hi to Chris Carr from me.
Oh, I absolutely will. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
Okay. I'm Karen Hartglass. You're listening to It's All About Food, and we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about water, the importance of pure, clean water. We'll be right back. Hello, I'm Karen Hartglass, and you're listening to It's All About Food. Thank you for joining me today. And we're going to move on to the next part. But first, I wanted to remind you, I'm the founder of Responsible Eating and Living, and our website is responsibleeatingandliving.com. And I'm continually adding new recipes. We have over 200 right now, healthy, delicious, plant-based recipes to help you transition to a healthier diet or just give you some more variety. I'm always coming up with all kinds of interesting, colorful, beautiful, delicious foods for you to try, and I hope you visit responsibleeatingandliving.com. And what we were just talking about in the last segment, this idea of love being so important, I really, really believe that. And it's so important for us to love ourselves in order to have health. You know, I went through my own personal health crisis when I was diagnosed with advanced ovarian cancer 6 years ago, and I did a lot of different things to get myself well, and that meant improving my diet. I was already a pretty healthy vegan, I thought, but I realized I needed to boost my immune system, and so I started adding more green foods and a number of different things to get myself well. But there's that whole love concept, and I'm fortunate. I am surrounded by some wonderful friends and family who gave me great support. But sometimes there are things that we don't even realize are bothering us. Now, some people have issues either from childhood or from one thing or another, and the way they deal with the trauma or the abuse or the problem is to eat. And that's part of the reason why we have such an epidemic, because there are people that are not happy. And one of the ways to get well is to take responsibility and really start to love yourself. Now, another important piece of this health equation is water, where our bodies are made up of mostly water, and we need water. And sometimes when people tell me that they're not feeling well or they're tired, I ask them a few questions. Are you getting enough sleep, and are you getting enough water? And it's got to be clean and pure, and we're going to be talking now with Courtney Mader, and she works at her family's business, Pure and Secure, home of the original Pure Water Distillers in Lincoln, Nebraska. She and her family have dedicated their lives to spreading awareness about toxins in the water supply and how distillation is the best way for a family to protect their loved ones from these harmful toxins. They are committed to purity and quality and truly believe there is no compromise when it comes to one's health. Hello, Courtney. Welcome to It's All About Food.
Hi there. Thank you.
Well, thank you for joining me, and let's talk about water.
Yeah, well, before we get in too far into distillation, I'd like to explore the reason that it's so important that we purify the water, because I think people need to realize that the environment is changing.
Yeah.
You know, we use so many more chemicals and fertilizers and pesticides nowadays. This no doubt leads to more toxins in our water, and because of this, researchers are beginning to correlate this contamination to the increase in various cancers and degenerative diseases that we're seeing. So
absolutely. Even I think tap water is really important. It's important that we all have access to water. And even if the water is coming from a source that's relatively clean, just moving along in those pipes, we don't know what's getting into our water.
Exactly. That's a good point, because even though it is treated at a water municipality, if you are lucky enough to be on city water, it does need to travel through pipes to get to your house. And many of those are lead, and who knows what it picks up along the way.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the most shocking thing to me, and I still have a hard time wrapping my brain around this, but the EPA says there are now over 85,000 possible contaminants in the water supply.
Why so, count?
I know, it's truly mind-blowing, and to be fair, it's just not something that they can handle on a large scale. So they do require testing for certain contaminants, just over 100. I think it was about 113 last time I checked. And but that still means there's about 85,000 contaminants they don't test for.
Yeah.
So just because it passes their tests that they do, which they can then call the water safe, it doesn't mean it's toxin-free.
Pretty crazy.
Oh.
Comes out of the tap, it looks clear, and yet it can have 85,000 different things in addition to H2O.
I know. And it's not meant to freak people out, but it's important to be aware. And, even the levels or even the contaminants that they do test for, there are what they consider safe and allowable levels of those contaminants. And I personally, I have a hard time with that. I don't believe there's any safe amount of lead or arsenic or mercury that should be in my water.
Right, me
so,
either. Okay, so let's talk about the options. So a lot of people go out and they buy bottled water.
Yes, that's becoming very popular.
And I know that bottled water is, let's not even talk about the water itself, it's a very environmentally unfriendly process.
Right.
We use a lot of water, much more water than actually gets in the bottle to make the bottled water, and then there's all the issues of plastics leaching into the water, et cetera.
Right. Yeah, there's the petroleum they use to make the bottles, the oil that they use to transport them, like you said, the plastic leaching in, if it maybe is stored in a hot warehouse, that's something to be concerned about too. And the Environmental Working Group has done several studies on the quality of the water that's bottled, and they found over a quarter of them is actually tap water anyway. So it really is not a long-term solution to the problem. And
okay, now a lot of people go for the Brita filter. They put it in their refrigerator and pour the water in, and they think it's doing a good job. It tastes better.
It does taste better. I agree with that. filters do an okay job. They will get certain contaminants. Their best day is the first day. Their effectiveness declines over time. So that's important to realize. They all deteriorate and need constant replacement.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with RO systems, reverse osmosis. They're basically a series of membranes. Water gets pumped through those. The household systems waste water to treat the water, so that's an environmental problem there. But there are also a series of filters that need replacement. So, the biggest problem is people remembering to do the replacement and then actually doing it. So,
right.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about distillation. Ding!
Yes, that is what we do, and
that's what I do too.
That's wonderful. I was really glad to hear that. And we've had customers that have had their distillers for 30 and 40 years.
Wow.
And they're getting the same high purity water now that they did 30 and 40 years ago. So it truly is an amazing process, and the results are consistent and reliable. So for those of you who don't know what distillation is, we're actually just mimicking the nature's cycle of purifying water, because we don't get any new water on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
The water that we use today is what was here when dinosaurs were here and what our ancestors used, and it keeps getting recycled. And nature's process, the hydrologic cycle, is to heat up the water. The sun beating down on the ocean would do this. The water evaporates, condenses into clouds, and then comes down as rain. And if there were no air pollution, you know, rainwater would be pure. So what we do inside a distiller is the very same process. We're heating it. It comes to a boil, and then the steam that rises is what we're capturing inside another chamber. This is a full spectrum type of solution, and by that I mean it does take care of all types of contaminants. So, as you know, there's biologicals. Those will get killed in the boiling process and left behind. There's inorganics, organics, things like petroleum, carbon-based chemicals, and also even radioactive. Mm. We did some testing last year after Fukushima, and we're very, very impressed with the results.
Wow.
Very high reduction of radioactives with distillation. So,
well, I just know from my own personal experience distilling water every day, just seeing what's left in the stainless steel reservoir.
Yeah.
That was removed from one day, 1 gallon of water. There's always like a certain murky yuckiness.
Isn't that amazing? And, you know, we've seen, of course, what, you know, distillers that have been all across the nation and all the various contaminants. It's shocking. I mean, it can be brown and gunky and smell terribly, and it can be white and chalky, and you just never know, because it's whatever it's taking out of the water. So that's very cool. You get to see what your body is not having to process.
Yeah, and unlike the other systems, you don't have to buy a new filter or replace your membranes. You just occasionally clean the inside of the stainless container, but every time you distill, the steam that comes off is just water.
Yeah, yeah. I will mention there are some contaminants that have a boiling point lower than water,
mm-hmm.
that can evaporate with the steam. We've got a unique vented system in our distillers to take care of that, and some choose to use a carbon filter after that.
Right. So what are those things that are left over that go with the steam?
They call them VOCs, volatile organic compounds.
Oh, sure. Compounds. The things that are in our paints that we don't want to have.
There you go. Chlorine's another one. So those things will evaporate off with the steam and be trapped by the carbon in the filter if they do condense down. So it's a very fail-safe process. You know,
I'm a believer in distillation, but
yeah.
Some people have had some questions and concerns. One is that the pH of the water tends to be on the acidic side when you distill, and the question is that a problem?
Right. Well, distilled water actually has a neutral pH as it is exposed to the air is when it can go slightly acidic. And it's really nothing to be concerned about. You know, your kidneys inside your body are constantly regulating the pH within your body. And they actually, you know, it's kind of the opposite effect of what people would think. If you drink alkaline water, for example, I know that's become very popular nowadays, it actually, you know, your kidneys will release more acid into your stomach to neutralize it. It's always trying to achieve a balance.
I'm glad you brought that up. Hold that thought, because we have a caller, Rachel in Florida, who wants to talk about minerals.
Okay.
Hi, Rachel. Yes, hi. Welcome to It's All About Food.
Hi. I am enjoying your program.
Thank you.
I used to distill myself, so I saw all that yuck that was left behind in the stainless steel, and I wish that there was a ideal way of artificially, that sounds strange, but with the natural process, what happens when it rains is that rain goes down through the earth into the aquifer, and it's my understanding that along the way it picks up minerals. We don't, that's not duplicated in the distillation process. What can we do about that?
Right. So if you, the minerals found in water are those of the inorganic form, and they're not actually a form that our bodies can use and use for nourishment. They actually need to be absorbed by plants, you know, through the soil, and then they go through photosynthesis and convert them into organic minerals. And so that's the reason we need to get our minerals from our diet, and if that's not possible, through supplements. So I know there are people that use or put trace minerals back into their water. I personally don't, but if they want to, we would much rather them distill and get pure water to begin with, and then add back in whatever you feel like you need to add in.
I agree with Courtney. I just want to say that the amount of minerals that we need to get, we get from food. You can get it from things like celery that have a lot of electrolytes and minerals, and dark leafy green vegetables. And the minerals that are in water are really negligible.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes. What I found out is when I was distilling water, I ended up with mineral deficiencies that I didn't have before.
Well,
I don't understand it, because I had heard the same thing that Courtney said before.
I think a lot of people have mineral deficiencies, but and we don't really know. Well, we have some ideas of what the cause is, but I appreciate
a lot of it's nutritional.
Absolutely. I green juice every day, and I put in celery and dark leafy green vegetables, and I know that I'm getting a lot of minerals and great nutrition from that.
And don't forget watercress.
Watercress is one of my favorites. Thank you, Rachel. I wanted to say that I actually do add some minerals back to my water, but I use it only for the water that I'm drinking as a cold water. I bottle some of it and just drink it, and then I use other water for cooking and tea and others, and I don't remineralize that. I just like the taste.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. The minerals, we did that for a while, too, while we were still using the distiller. At this point in time, we have to keep close track, because we have been using reverse osmosis, but not a home system. Here where we live, we have a chain of grocery stores, several chains, that have machines, and we keep an eye on the dates to see when they last maintained the machine. We also do it by taste, and we can tell if they haven't been doing their job. But that was my thoughts.
Okay, I appreciate your comments, Rachel, and thanks for listening. But, you know, Courtney, one of the reasons why I found you is because I have a distiller. I've had it for a few years, and it's not made in the United States. And I got it when I had had another distiller before this that I had had for, I don't know, 8 years or something, and that crashed, and I was in a panic, and I needed a new one. I got it really fast. It was cheap. And now I'm kind of, in hindsight, regretting all of that, because I want to, number one, buy American as often as I can, but also the quality of this thing that I have is not very good.
Right. Well, and is it a little countertop unit?
Yeah, it's a one-gallon countertop unit.
Okay. Well, one thing, too, as far as the design difference between our countertop units and any others that I've seen on the market, ours do not boil dry. So after each batch, you will actually have some water left behind in the boiling tank. This is to keep the heating element submerged so that it does not exceed 212 degrees inside that boiling tank, because what happens when it boils dry and there's nothing left to boil, it heats up very fast and can burn off contaminants that are, you know, meant to be left behind and can affect the purity of your distilled water. So for that reason, we leave water behind. It also makes maintenance a lot easier. You're not caking that residue on the machine every time. And your heating elements will last longer. And, it also makes it safer to use. I know there's been a recall on some of those others at one point for a safety hazard. So, yeah, there's a lot of thought that goes into, you know, we're going into our 45th year next year. And so
good for you.
We've done a lot of design improvements along the way, and we just, you know, we incorporate feedback that we get from customers, and we just continue to keep making good, solid American products that people are happy with. So.
And what about the importance of water for babies and children?
Very important. I'm glad you brought that up. Babies and children drink more water for their weight than adults do. So toxins build up faster. Also, because their immune systems are less developed, they're more susceptible to the contamination. A lot of different contaminants, lead, for example, has been linked to learning disorders. So it's very important for pregnant and nursing women, as well as young babies and children, to be on toxin-free water. And, you know, also elderly and those with, you know, those that have faced cancers and anywhere where you're more susceptible to disease, and which to me makes sense that why wait until something like that happens? Why not just do it for health and wellness? So
it's unfortunate, but there are so many things in the world that we test relative to an adult sometimes, and sometimes an adult male. It's only recently that we started including adult females in the medical equation for testing, and we don't test or come up with levels for children. And clearly children are affected so much more by so many things, by contamination, and they get it from very often from water.
Yeah, so it's up to us to really take control of what we're putting into our bodies and for our families too. So,
I'm on your mailing list, and I recently got an email about a new product. I think that you have. It's a like some sort of gravity. Oh, it's a distillation setup that doesn't use electricity.
That is a project that my brother's been working on. It's a survival still.
Yeah, can you talk about that a little bit? Especially, you know, we just went through this hurricane here in New York, and I have a feeling that, you know, things are going to be happening
well,
more often.
And the best thing, of course, that you can do to prepare for emergencies is to be prepared ahead of time. And, you know, the problem a lot of times when you encounter flooding in situations like that, you're getting raw sewage. And I know there were Superfund pollution sites that were flooded during the hurricane.
Yep.
So there's a lot of increased chemicals and sewage in the water, and, you know, there's a lot of times the bottled water is sold out at the store. So to have something of your own that you can use in times like that does not use electricity. So, and mind you, I'm going to refer you to his website because I don't know too much about it. But if you go to survivalstill.com, he tells you all about it there. But it's a system that you can have on hand and hopefully never use it. I mean, that would be the best thing. But if you need to, it's all stainless steel and it will last you a lifetime. So, yeah, that's a good option to protect your family.
Right. And your main website is mypurewater.com, and people can sign up and get newsletters there and read your blog posts from time to time.
Yes, that's correct.
Right. And I use the small size, the 1 gallon size, but you've got a range of products for different needs. Can you talk a little bit about what people can get?
We have more automated systems that you can get plumbed into the home. It really is just for consumable use, but, you know, that entails a whole range of things, teas and coffees and for cooking soups and baking and ice cubes and can't forget the pets. And so if you have a family, three or more, we usually would recommend getting into an automatic machine. And as you use the water, it will automatically fill up the distiller and distill more for you. So very convenient. You can even get it pumped to a faucet at your sink and into your fridge. So,
I want to make a disclaimer here. I have not made any kind of arrangement here to profit from this conversation.
Right.
And, you know, I have not been able to use your product. I just found it because I was looking for American made. But I'm thinking this is something that will probably become more popular over time. Some people get their water delivered, and there's an expense involved there.
Right.
And I personally think it's important to use our tap water if we have access to public water, and let our government, local governments, know that we want good water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if everybody started buying water, there might not be this need for tap water, or this perceived lack of need, and I don't want that to go away. Tap water is really important.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Okay. Courtney, thank you so much for joining me on It's All About Food, and check out mypurewater.com, and I wish you all the best with your products. Thanks
thank
for keeping
you,
our water clean and pure.
Yes, appreciate it. Thank you.
I'm Karen Hartglass, and you're listening to It's All About Food. Please remember, if you have any comments and questions, you can send me an email at info@realmeals.org. info@realmeals.org. I love to hear from you and get your comments. Thanks for joining me, and have a really delicious week.